worship him. We choose praise every day, every morning. We choose praise. Whether we are on the mountaintops, in the valleys, we don't choose anxiety. We don't choose fear. We don't choose depression. We don't choose stress. We don't choose silence. We choose praise. That is why we gather in the house of the Lord. That is what we're doing this morning. It is so good to see you here at Prestonwood. Welcome. Before we do anything else, why don't you find someone around you that you have not said good morning to yet and say hello to them.
In these last few moments together to greet one another in the Lord, and as Caleb said, we do. We come to worship today. We come to worship today a risen Savior and a living Lord. And we will sing for joy. We will lift our hearts, whether they're heavy, whether they're happy, and everything in between. We are here to worship today, and we want to take this opportunity to welcome you to Prestonwood and say what a joy it is for all of us to be able to gather together. We do hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving week together with friends and family and loved ones, and it's good to come into the house of the Lord today to be thankful, to rejoice, and to give praise to our Lord. Now, we do want to take this opportunity as well to say a special word of welcome to all of you who may be guests with us today, first-time guests in particular. It is an absolute honor for you to be able to be with us today. And we hope that you'll take a moment sometime during this service to text the word connect to the number 74788. And when you do, some information is going to populate right there on your mobile device where you can fill that out, share some things with us about you, tell us about your visit. We would love to know how we can be praying for you today. And our pastor has a special gift for you. It's a book called The Essential Gospel. And if you're a guest with us today, we'd love to share that gift with you. At the end of our service, you can head right out those doors to Guest Central. We have a team of staff and volunteers that would love to meet you and encourage you and share that gift with you. So I hope you'll take a moment, guests especially, tell us you were here today. We would love to celebrate that the Lord has brought you here. It's no accident that any of us are here today. And we are here today to worship. We are here today to learn and to grow together. If you're a regular member and attender here at Prestonwood, you probably already noticed this. If you're a little bit newer in worshiping with us, our stage and our setup looks just a little bit different. Doesn't this look great up here? It's really a beautiful set that reminds us that an incredible couple of weekends are ahead of us as a church family. We like to call them the gift of Christmas. And we are excited, offering multiple performances beginning this weekend and next weekend. I hope you'll be praying for Caleb and our entire worship ministry. These folks are working incredibly hard and doing an incredible job of preparing to share not just a show, not just performances, but to tell the greatest story ever told of the coming of the King to the world, to take our sin upon himself and to make his sacrifice for us so we could know and be right with God. So be praying for us these next 2 weekends for the gift of Christmas as we celebrate, as we sing the music of Christmas, the love and the life of Jesus. It's going to be incredible. Be praying as we share the gospel. Be praying as we tell the story through music and arts and everything that's been prepared, that Jesus would be lifted high, amen, and that many would be drawn to his name and to salvation because of these performances. So Caleb, you and your team, we're praying for you and for all that God's going to do. And speaking of something exciting, I'm so very glad for our guest preacher. He's no guest. The one, the only, the incomparable Neil Jeffrey in the pulpit today. Neil Jeffrey, our associate pastor of preaching and pastoral ministries, is going to be sharing out of 1 Thessalonians 5 this morning, a powerful word. Neil, we're praying for you. Can't wait for all that God's going to share with you this morning. Be praying for our pastor as he's away at a pastor's retreat this weekend. He'll be back in the pulpit next weekend. And some of you, speaking of which, may have seen on social media this past week a special word, an update, an incredible announcement in the life of our church and the ministries of Prestonwood that we want to share with you right now. So turn your attention to the screens.
Well, by now, I hope you've heard the huge announcement we made on Sunday, and that is about our brand new Prestonwood Pregnancy Center that is going to be in Fort Worth, Texas, my good old hometown of Fort Worth, Texas. And I've always had a heart for this city and love this place, and not only in Fort Worth, but at Southwestern Seminary, and I'm a graduate of this seminary and so grateful to be. And we had an opportunity for us to be a partnership with Southwestern in establishing an extension of our pregnancy center right here. And this is Leanne Jamison, and Leanne, I know you're excited about this opportunity. What do you think?
I the answer to so much prayer, Pastor, and it's so evident that God is working here in Fort Worth, and we're going to see babies saved at this location.
God has called us to fulfill the Great Commission, and that is to be a part of seeing Christ change lives. Our pregnancy center ministry is always about saving babies, but ultimately it is about bringing people to faith in Jesus Christ and ministering the love and hope. It's truly one of the sweetest ministries that we have. And we've been doing it how long now? 34 years. And so this is something brand new. I love new beginnings. We're going to be taking this building. There'll be some remodeling involved and aligning and adjusting it to get ready for our operation here. But that will happen soon.
Sooner the better, Pastor.
The sooner the better. So please be praying. Continue to give in support of Prestonwood and Prestonwood's Pregnancy Center, because I promise you, we're making a difference in Jesus' name.
Isn't that incredible? And I love what Leanne said there in that video. The sooner the better. The sooner we can have that new location, saving babies, restoring lives, giving hope to folks in need of not only new life, new opportunity, but ultimately new life in Christ. So Prestonwood, just as a reminder, your generosity, your faithfulness in giving week in and week out affords us as a church body the opportunity to be able to do things just like that. And so as our ushers come now to receive our offering, all throughout the month of December, our pastor is going to continue to lead us and encourage us in being faithful in our giving, especially our year-end giving. We have so much that the Lord has afforded to us as a church family to do, that He has entrusted us to accomplish for His glory and to see the gospel go out in our day to the very ends of the earth. And it's our joy, it's our privilege to give and to give cheerfully, especially during this season of the year. So much critical ministry is taking place. So church family, as always, we want to say thank you for your generosity and your faithfulness and your tithe and your offering and your giving above and beyond. And now as we pass the plate in just a moment, this is your opportunity to give in real time as an act of worship, as a way for us to be able to say to the Lord, thank you, Lord, for how you've blessed us, and for us to bring the first fruits of all he's given us back and to give to him. And as we do, we know he'll take what we give and he'll multiply it to great effect and for his glory and for our good and for our blessing. So let's pray, and as we do, we'll give. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Father, we do thank you for the privilege that it is to worship you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your shed blood. We thank you that we stand right before you today, God, because of what Jesus did for us. And so, Lord, what else can we do but worship? How else can we respond, Lord, but to give, and to give in abundance and to give in joy? Father, with the grace that has been given to us, we now give with cheerfulness, with gratitude, with thanksgiving in our hearts, Father, excited to see how you will give of yourself, Lord, and of your Spirit, pouring out in this place and this people, moving us further and forward for the advancement of the gospel. So Jesus, this is our time, this is our moment to continue to worship. And Father, as we give, as we sing, as we come into the preaching of your word, Lord, would you be lifted up? And would you be glorified in all that's said and all that's done? Jesus, we pray this in your powerful and matchless name. Amen.
Child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords.
If I were a shepherd, I would do my part, but poor as I am, I will give to him my heart, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, unto us a child. Skies, this baby born for sacrifice, Christ the Messiah, into our hopes, into our fears, the Savior of the world appears, the promise of eternal years, Christ the Messiah, and he shall reign forevermore. Sing this with me, sing. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
We give him all the glory.
I'm gonna sing till my heart starts changing. Oh, I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy.
I'm gonna live like my King is risen. Gonna preach to my soul that you've already won. And even though I can't see it, I'm gonna keep believing that every promise you've made is as good as done. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises. Blessing and breaking, you're worthy, you're worthy. Oh, Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, you're worthy. Oh, Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, oh, you're worthy, yeah. In the blessing and the pain, you are worthy. Whether you say yes or no, or wait, you are worthy. And through it all, I choose to say, you are worthy. I'll never stop singing your praise. I'll never stop singing your praise. And when I finally see your face, I'll cry worthy. And when you wipe these tears,
so glad you are here. I'm thankful on this Thanksgiving weekend. I'm thankful that you're here, and whoever you are, I saw a lot of people I know earlier. I'm thankful you're here. If you're not here and I've never met you before, I'm still thankful for you. Thankful that you're here and a part of this. And we're going to be, I was asked just to do a message about Thanksgiving, and that's what we're going to do. Look at a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 and 17. We're going to also do a little look at Philippians 4, 4 through 7 as well. As I begin, I always feel obligated to do this. And I think it's, most of you heard me speak. You know I'm a stutterer. But I think it's more out of my own insecurities that I feel like I need to warn you. I'm a stutterer. And that just means I stutter, and I don't stutter as well as I used to stutter. I mean, as a kid, I was a great stutterer. I may have stuttered as well as anybody has ever stuttered. I I doubt if they keep those kind of stats or not, but I couldn't talk, I couldn't say my name, couldn't even say a silent prayer without stuttering. I mean, that's how bad it was. It affected me in every area of my life. I mean, as a kid, as a student, as an athlete, it kind of, in so many ways, it dominated my life. And I'm just amazed at just how great God is. Amen. That I'm, one, just able to speak, and it won't be 2 hours with the stuttering. I mean, hopefully it's going to be 25 to 30 minutes. You never know, but it's what makes it exciting. But I want to share a little bit of that today as well as we kind of talk about this, because the message is that, let me just read this, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16, 17, and 18, or the verses. And Paul says this, three great words. Actually, for a Christian, this is how we ought to live. It's who we are. It's what we're supposed to do. He says this, three great statements. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and always give thanks in every situation, every circumstance. Now, it's amazing. Now, Paul is writing this in prison, which is fascinating. Look over at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, because he says essentially the same thing. He's also writing this passage from prison as well. He says this. Look at the three, same emphasis, he says. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Now he says, in the Lord, which is fascinating. That's going to be the main message in just a minute. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasons be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, do this. Another everything, always do this. By everything, pray, by prayer and supplication. With what? With thanksgiving, the same message. And then he has an extra statement in verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Again, the message is, rejoice always, pray always without ceasing, and always give thanks in any and every situation. You know, I have so much to be thankful for, as do you. I mean, this last couple of days have just been wonderful. I mean, here in America, we have the whole Thanksgiving holiday, and of course, it's just wonderful. It's just incredible. It's just the blessings of God on my life, on your life. Just it's all about family, man. Just us all being together, which doesn't happen as much as I wish it would happen with three families and my family and all those grandkids. I mean, but it's wonderful to be together in my house, in my home. How awesome it is to have a home and everyone's in my house. It was glorious. I'm so thankful for that, and of course for the food. Man, how thankful you all for the food. It was way too much. We're so blessed beyond measure. And of course, for faith, I'm thankful for that we believe. We trusted Jesus. And of course, football. I mean, I loved that. It was great. I mean, I've had a bunch, but I want more. It was great. Thankful to be an American, to be here in the United States of America, to be raised here, to be born here, to be raised here, to live here. How awesome it is. How thankful I am to be an American as well. You know, all of us, what Paul says here, all of the things, you know, it's easy in moments like this when things are so good and I'm blessed in so many ways and everyone seems to be healthy and it seems to be good. It's easy to rejoice always, yes, and to pray, yes. You know, we had on Thursday, we do ours on Wednesday actually, but there's a whole reason for that, but we do it on Wednesday. We laughed. It was joyous. It was incredible. And we prayed on Thursday because we're thankful for what God has blessed us with. Well, it's so easy to be a thankful and thankful. But the message, and what's fascinating about this message, and when Paul wrote it,
what he's actually saying is, because Paul obviously is so joyful, so positive, so grateful, so rich, always rejoicing, always praying, always thankful. He makes this incredible statement, but we know for a fact his joy, all the stuff he's saying, can't be tied to his circumstances, because the circumstances at this time are awful. He's in jail. He's in chains. He's on trial for his life. He's physically weak, sickly. Even the Christians around him are kind of mad at him and don't understand why he's in prison, and they're kind of attacking him as well. But Paul still says, rejoice, pray, and be grateful. You know why? His, all those things in his life were not tied to his circumstances at all, because Paul had discovered something. Paul believed in something. Actually, Paul believed in someone, and because he believed in someone that the world can't see, the world's never going to understand. The world always says seeing is believing. Paul says, the Christian says, believing is seeing. That's why the old hymn, Amazing Grace, I once was lost, but now I found. I was blind, but now I see. Paul had discovered the difference that Jesus Christ made in his life. And because of Jesus Christ, it changes everything. And he sees everything differently. A person in Christ. And that's why that phrase, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's because of Jesus, because we evaluate, we see everything, because who Jesus Christ is, who God is, who the Holy Spirit is, all that we have in all of that, in us, because of all of who they are, all that we have because of them, we see everything through the vision of a great, glorious, good God, a wonderful, glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that's powerfully within us. We see everything. We see things that other people can't see. We know things that non-believers don't know, and we have something in our life, as Paul did. Actually, we have someone in our life, the Lord Jesus, and that changes everything. When, regardless of our situation, regardless of where we are, regardless of what's happened, we are going to rejoice, we're going to pray about the circumstances in our life, and we're going to give thanks, period. Now, why can Paul do that? You know why? And it's a simple little message here. One, there's a great, glorious God is why. Two, there's a wonderful, glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus, who's our Savior, who's our shepherd, and who is the sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords. That's why we can rejoice in any situation. And we got the Holy Spirit within us. All this, and we got the Bible, the Word of God, and we got the church. We got so many things, but just first, we can be thankful in all things. We can rejoice regardless of what's happening around us, because we have a great God who is great, who's mighty. He's creator of all things. Everything has been created by him. Without him, nothing has been made that has been made. He made it all. He's the sustainer of everything. I mean, I can't even take control of my life and in my office. It's a mess and all that stuff. God's in control of everything. He sustains everything. And he's everlasting. The Bible just said so many great statements and verses. Psalms 145:3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Psalms 95:3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Our, oh Lord my God, you are great. Sounds like that great hymn, that great song, how great thou art, because our God is great. And also, he's not only great, the Bible testifies this. Actually, all of creation testifies to that. Actually, every Christian, you know God is a great God. How? Why would I rejoice in all things? Because we have a great God who's not only great, our God is also good. Psalms 107:1, oh, give thanks for the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalms 118:1 actually says this thing four times in this little chapter. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. I'm sorry I'm so dry. I don't know why I'm dry, but I'm dry. I apologize. Psalm 118:1 says, oh, give thanks for the Lord again. He is good. God is good. His steadfast love endures ever. You know what we can joke? We got a great God in heaven who's a good, a glorious God, and he loves us. He loves you. He loves me unconditionally. God created us for his glory and our good. He died for us on the cross, and he has picked us. God makes no mistakes. God is in control. He has a plan and a purpose in all things, and we can rejoice in all things because, you know, our God, who is great, bigger than anything, everything, is working in these circumstances. So Paul says we can rejoice. We can give thanks, and we believe that our God is a, you know, it's interesting, in the Old Testament, God has all these names, Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, Adonai, Elyon, El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, and he sees on and on and on. But you know, it's in the New Testament when Jesus came that Jesus told us a whole new thing about our God. As great, as good as he is, as glorious he is, he said, our God is a Father. Amen. At first he said, first thing he said when he was a little boy, remember that story? In the temple, he said, I must be in my Father's house. And then he instructs us when we pray. How do we get to pray? Hey, we pray to this great, glorious God. Hey, our Father who art in heaven. And then Romans 5 just reminds us as well. I mean, Romans 8:15 says, hey, because we are sons, we can cry to Father, Abba, Father. It's like a daddy. Here's the point. This great, glorious, good God loves us. We belong to him, and it's a Father who is in heaven who has all the riches of glory at his disposal. Disposal to make him available to us, and so we might glorify him and serve him faithfully. He conquers all of our fears, comforts us in times of trouble and distress. He forgives our sin, gives us life everlasting in hope in heaven, life abundantly now. He showers us with limited resources. He grants us wisdom and direction in his Spirit and his Word. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Our God is glorious, and he's our Father. It's like that wonderful song that Chris Tomlin sings. He's a good, good Father. I love that chorus. It says, good, good Father. That's who you are, God. That's who you are. That's who you are. I am loved by you, God. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. This God is great. This God is glorious. And you know what? This God, Jeremiah 29:11, said, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, declares the Lord. He declares this. Plans for your wholeness, not for evil, but to give you a future and a hope. That is a great God. He wants to do great things in the midst of our lives. And we can trust him in life, trust him in every circumstance of life. Our God is good. Actually, a great verse that speaks about our God is Philippians 1:6, which says this. Of this I am very sure, that he, God, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means God is so good, so glorious. He began something in us. He's continuing that process in our lives, through our lives. And the end result, he's going to bring his plan, which he began, which he's working in and through and for, to the end, to completion. And it's going to be perfect and complete at the end because God is responsible for that. It isn't my ability to get it done. It's God's willingness to get it done in and through me. Now, that is glorious. And it just reminds us, hey, in this whole process, bad things are going to happen, things I can't explain. Hurts and pains and disappointments and all kinds of things. But the truth of the Bible, the Word of God, is why we can rejoice and pray and give thanks in all things is because our God began this process. Our God is continuing this process, and he guarantees the outcome will be completed one day, and we can just trust in the midst of all of this. You know, it's a little bit like, you know, he started this whole thing in me. He saved me. Started that whole process. He began something in me. And you know what? When I was a little boy, I just always had a desire to speak and preach because I had a dad who was a good speaker. He did. He was an entertainer. He did all kinds of stuff. He was a lay preacher. I mean, I just, well, because I couldn't even talk, and so there was no way. But I just had that kind of in my heart. Then as a high school high school student, I feel like God called me to preach. There's no way I could preach. I mean, I'm so often sitting in church and out there in the pews, and guys preaching, talking to me. But I didn't share with anybody. I said, there's no way this can happen to me. I can't even talk. This is impossible. But and then I'm playing football at Baylor and doing all the stuff I was doing there. I started to get a chance to speak and share my testimony, and I didn't want to do that. I couldn't do that. And I just said, no, there's no way. And I turned it down, and finally I realized I got to do this. God, give me this position as an athlete. I got to give a test. So I started just stepping out and speaking, and it was a disaster. I mean, I stuttered so incredibly through the whole deal. It was hard on me. It was hard to listen to me. I mean, it was the elephant in the room. I got some tapes of me. I need to play one of those for you sometime. You could hear how awful it was. I'm just struggling. Start to meet Sheila. Sheila is now my wife, and we started dating. She would go with me. She just said one time, hey, why don't you just, first thing you do, just tell them you're a stutterer. And all that means is that you stutter. And there's some jokes about stuttering through as a kid and front and all that stuff, and just go through that whole deal. I started doing that, started sharing the things, still struggle, still had a hard time, but you know, it's just there was a whole new atmosphere in the room. And I did that hundreds and hundreds of times in places, half of these last 50 years. I've been doing that for 50 years now. Incredible time. And you know what? Somehow, some way in that whole process, something has happened. I can't explain it, I don't understand it, but you know, I've stuttered some today, but I haven't stuttered much. But the whole idea is God has been in the middle of this whole thing, and this whole stuttering thing, which I've always hated and resented and just hated the fact that I stutter. Why can't somebody else? Why has it to be me? Realize, you know what? This thing is the thing God created for me. He's bigger than this. He can use this. And the end result is, you know what? It has become maybe the greatest thing in my life outside of my salvation. You know, Paul had something in his life. He called it a thorn. 2 Corinthians, let me just read this. 2 Corinthians 12, he says this, verses 7. I've lost it. It's in here. It's after, I thought I had it all queued up. Okay, he says this. Paul says, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I asked the Lord about this, that it should leave me. God, take it away. I asked the Lord hundreds of times about this stuttering thing because it was a thorn in my life. He's got a thorn in his life. But then God tells him this. No, Paul, I'm not going to remove this thorn, but you're going to discover, verse 9, that my grace is sufficient for you. Like you would have never known if you didn't have this thorn. And you're going to discover that my power is actually made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I would rather boast all the more about my weakness, about my thorn, about my stuttering. No way. So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. You know what I realized all this time? I always wanted to be a good speaker because my dad was. Always wanted to just be the guy. I mean, it's a great speaking guy. You know what? I've spoken hundreds and hundreds of times through all these years. You know what I've realized? People ask me to come speak not because I'm a good speaker. People ask me to speak because I'm a stutterer. And I got a message from the standpoint of a guy that struggled all of his life, but he knows a God who's greater than anything and everything, including this thorn in my life. I've realized now the gift is, this stuttering is a gift. It's not a thorn. Now I wish I could have started years ago with this thorn in my life, rejoicing. I didn't. Giving thanks. I didn't. But God has a great plan, and God will do it. And you know what? Hey, I'm not through. Nothing can keep God from completing his work in us and for us and through us. He's making us like Jesus. He's fulfilling his calling in our life. One day, He says he began this work. He's continuing. One day he's going to complete it. One day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus. We're going to be the redeemed child of God, and we're going to be holy, blameless, and compete in every way. We're far from that now, but God has taken us from where we were when we first said yes to him to where we are today. And one day, all of this is going to be glorious because a better day is coming tomorrow and in the future when what is incomplete one day is going to be made complete. When what is now unfinished one day is going to be finished. When that which is lacking one day is going to be made full. That which is partial is going to be made whole. What used to be less than enough is going to be more than enough. What is broken is going to be fixed. What is hurt is going to be healed. What is weak is going to be strong. What is temporary and not lasting one day is going to be permanent, forever lasting. We can give thanks for anything and everything that's happened in our life. That's why Paul says, even if you got a thorn, even if you got a struggle, even if it's the worst experience of your life and all that, our God is greater than this. Our God has a plan in the midst of all of this. God began a work in you, and he's working that work in you right now until he calls you home. And one day it's going to be complete. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be glorious. Therefore, we can rejoice and give thanks. Because we have a great God. But secondly, I'm thankful for Jesus. I can rejoice and give thanks because we have a wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. He is our Savior. He saves us from our sins. That's what Luke 2:11, the Christmas story in the Bible. The angel tells the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Our greatest need, the greatest situation in our lives is sin. Man, we can't do anything about our sin. Sin dominates us. We become enslaved to sin. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. The greatest problem we have is sin. The greatest need of the human heart is sin, which requires the greatest sacrifice, the greatest price ever paid, which is what Jesus Christ did for us when he was born of a virgin, came, lived the perfect life, went to the cross on our behalf. God laid all the sins on him for us. He paid that price. He took our wrath, and because of that, he died, he was buried, he rose again, and we can be forgiven, we can be cleansed, we can become a new man and woman in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 says, there is a Redeemer, and the Redeemer, his name is Jesus. He's our Savior. And, you know, he's also our shepherd. Man, how thankful we are just to have a Savior who saves us and gives us life abundantly now and life everlasting with him in heaven. You know, that's why I got just a John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have that because there is a Savior. But he's also a shepherd. In Psalms 23, I don't have time to go through all of this, but I wish we did. Psalms 23, but it just, we have a shepherd. Psalm 23, 1 just simply says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How thankful are we for that? We can find in Jesus everything we need for life and godliness and to live in a way that honors him and blesses others. We can experience his peace, his presence in our life, his purpose in our life, because he is all that we need. And, he, you know, it's just everyone is looking for something. Everyone's looking for just searching for something. But, you know, a new man, a new woman in Christ Jesus, he or she is not looking for anything because they have found it in Jesus. That new one in Christ is not searching for light. The light has already shined in his heart and changed his heart and his life. He's not searching for the way because he knows the way. He knows Jesus is the way, and he's walking in the way. He's not searching for the truth because he knows the truth, and the truth has set him free. He's not searching for life. He's experienced life because Jesus is the life eternally. Abundantly now and forevermore. We have a shepherd, and we also have a sovereign. Well, you know, I got to say first, this shepherd, I don't have time to do this, but He leads us. 2 and 3, he makes us lie down. He leads us beside still waters, restores us. So he leads in the path of righteousness. He's with us. He never leaves us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death and the hardest experience of life, he says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because my shepherd is with us. Our God, the Lord Jesus, is with us, and his rod and staff, they comfort me, prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies, anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. How awesome is it for the shepherd who overflows our cup? And he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Amen. And then that incredible promise, I say this at every graveside service I do for every believer. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because we have a shepherd and we have a sovereign. Jesus is our sovereign. He's the risen Lord, the crucified Savior, the risen Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. Paul says in Philippians 2, wherefore God has given him a name above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of heaven, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's who our Savior is. That's who Jesus is. He's our sovereign. And Paul is making the point, why would we not rejoice when we have a glorious, great, powerful, awesome God who's in the midst of everything, who's got a plan for everything, and a glorious Savior, and we also have the Holy Spirit within us now. I don't have a time for that, the Holy Spirit. Sorry. There's a whole lot you could say. He indwells us. He empowers us. Brings us salvation, guidance, assurance. He's our helper, our advocate, all that stuff. Essentially, the Holy Spirit means there's something supernatural in the believer. That's why something supernatural can come out of the believer. It's glorious. That's why Paul was able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we have the Word of God. You know, just to think how thankful we are that we have the Bible. We have the Word of God. And we can read it. We can study it, memorize it, live by it. Of course, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training, instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God, the woman of God, the child of God may be complete, perfect, equipped for every good work. How thankful we are for that. And because we got the church, man, I can't hold on, I could say for you, how thankful I am for my church, for you, for us. Paul says, all of these things, why would I do anything else but rejoice? Because I got a God who's in control, and Jesus who's leading me through anything and everything. Well, just I want to close with just a couple of illustrations from my life. Actually, three little things I want to share. And none of them are really very good. But it's out of my life and it's real. And it was something which happened to me at the moment I thought was awful. But now looking back, I realize God had a plan. I mean, my whole stuttering thing. I mean, as I said earlier, I've always hated that. But now I realize God had a plan. This was his plan. And now it's actually perfect how it's all come together. I'm just blown and overwhelmed. And the whole challenge is, Neil, Jeffrey, now that you know that, looking back in your life, looking forward, whatever comes in my life, I'm going to respond by faith. I can't see it. I don't understand it. But I know my God is bigger than this. He's got a plan in this. I can trust him in this. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is with me through it all. Here's one. My junior at Baylor, I'm not dating anybody. I hadn't really dated anybody. I wasn't a big dater at all. I mean, I was so shy. I was actually afraid of girls. Because you got to talk. And I mean, it was just hard for me, and I was dreading it. So the last free Friday night in the fall before the football season started, it's going to start the next week. Last free Friday night we had as players, everybody had a date, a big group date. You went out and did something. I wasn't going to go, but They set me up with a girl from Abilene. Well, she calls on like that Tuesday of that week and has some deal. She has to go home that weekend. Her mother, I mean, I don't know what it was. And maybe it was true. I didn't feel like it was. To me, you know what it was to me? It was rejection. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm not going to go on this date with you. That's all I heard. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I mean, I'm just bummed at this thing. Because I'm thinking, that sums up my whole life in one sense. Well, my roommate was feeling sorry for me. So he said, I'm going to find you a date. He was dating a girl who had a roommate who didn't have a date. I didn't know her. I never had seen her. She had never seen me. I go to pick her up. It was Sheila Tibbles. Amen. She's now my wife for 48 years. Woo. And as soon as I saw her, I thought, I don't have a chance with this girl because she's gorgeous. There's no way. And then we started talking. You know what I discovered about her? Her major was speech therapy. I mean, how perfect is that? Now, I'm not saying it always works out like that, but you know, for me, hey, this is awful. This is a rejection, and I'm mad and depressed, and all of a sudden God does that. The idea is, hey, not to let this thing, this rejection, whatever it is, impact me. Just rejoice and give thanks. Hey, obviously she's not the one. God's got somebody coming. True enough, he did. And praise God, I got Sheila. You know, another experience happened to me my sophomore year at Baylor. I thought everybody loved me, and I was such a good guy, and all of a sudden, this sports writer, and I'm not going to say his name, but he writes a story that the last thing Baylor University needs is a stuttering quarterback. Man, I saw that, I read that, I mean, it just so defeated me. It just made me feel the whole world is against me, and there's not going to be, I mean, just so down, so depressed, so defeated. You know what I realized now looking back? He was wrong. He said the last thing they needed was a guy like me. The fact is, they needed a guy like me. That's the bottom line. Now, that sounds maybe braggadocious, and I wasn't that big of a star, but I was the quarterback of the team that won the first conference championship in 50 years at Baylor University. You know, the fact is, from God's standpoint, they needed a guy like me. You know, it's the exact same thing of some people say, the world says, hey, Israel, you don't need a shepherd boy to go against Goliath. That's the last thing you need. The fact is, that shepherd boy was exactly what God needed and wanted to use to make that thing. Hey, this little lunch, it's just some loaves and fish. It's not enough. It's the last thing we need to feed all this. No, it's enough. It's exactly what God wants to use in that. Here's the point. The fact is, many of us in this room, I think I'm the last one God would ever save, he would ever forgive, and would ever use and have a plan for my life. You know what? You are the one God wants to use to save, redeem, and do an incredible thing in your life, with your life, and for your life. Third example is this right here. I'm going to show you a video. This, just 2 minutes, but it's a film. Only reason we should have that, it was a film the Fellowship of Christian Athletes made in 19, it was shot 1973, 50 years ago this fall. And it was a series of films on Christian athletes, and they were doing one on Coach Taft and his faith, our head coach at Baylor. So we didn't even realize all week, and we did practice, but there was a film crew there filming everything all week long. And then I didn't even know this. There's a crew filming the game. Then there's a crew also after the game in the locker room filming everything. Again, we didn't even realize any of that. Well, in the game, and the video, it's like 15 minutes long, but we're behind 34-7. 11 minutes left to go in the game. We start this amazing comeback. I mean, I'm hitting passes all over the place. We score 3 touchdowns really quick. It's now 34-28. We're behind by 6. But if we can get the ball, drive down, score, and maybe a kick an extra point, we could win this game 35-34. We get the ball with a minute and a half left. We start this great drive and drive all the way down and get on the 12-yard line going in the score. Now, something bad happens. And it's my fault. I'm the quarterback. I'm number 11. You'll see me after the mistake crying on the sideline. But just watch this for 2 minutes. Here's the film.
We're going to go fly right, 96 slant. Put the cover, throw that ball over the tail there. Put your tail back, may be open.
Count of the plays and on fourth down threw the ball out of bounds to stop the clock.
Hey, Neil! Hey, Neil! Neil, it was fourth down! It was fourth down!
Almost won it. Across this field, and I was very dejected. But going into the dressing room, I knew that something of importance had occurred because a group of young men had not given up.
I want to say right now that, Neil, I think you did a fabulous, unbelievable job. That's what I want to say.
Neil, you're all right, baby.
Hey, Neil, get your head up. Look at me. You hear what I said?
I feel so sorry for that guy. You know, again, I didn't even know a movie was made. The next year, Coach Taft in a meeting says, guys, I want you to see this film. I'm thinking, oh, no. I'm hoping he wouldn't even mention the play. Of course, you saw, they actually rewrote the whole ending to magnify the play, the mistake, and to magnify the reaction, the response of the guys in the locker room because they all said how much they loved me. Worst mistake of my life as an athlete. I mean, it was huge, everybody saw it. Major moment, it still lives in infamy in Baylor University football history. But you know, that film FCA made, I thought was one of the worst. FCA takes it and shows it in huddle groups, junior highs, high schools, colleges, all over America. In these 50 years, I've heard so many guys who just say, hey, I saw you in this film. Hey, I want you to know, I saw that film in an FCA meeting and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You want to know this? Our former leader of PCA schools and all that stuff, Larry Taylor, when he came here, he walked up to me and said, hey, I know you. I was a junior in high school. I wasn't involved in church. Family didn't go to church. A coach invited me to an FCA meeting. I would never have gone to an FCA meeting, but they were giving free pizza. I love my coach. I went to this meeting. They showed that film. It was that night I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Here's the point. Hey, there's no way then I could have rejoiced and given thanks for that. But see, our God is greater than that. God's got a plan in the midst of all of that. And the end result is it has blessed many people. People have been saved because of that. The challenge is, you know what? By faith, whatever happens to me today, I'm going to trust God, rejoice, pray, and give thanks. But ultimately, we have victory. You know why? We have victory because our faith is the victory. But ultimately, 1 Corinthians 15:57 reminds us, thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? It just said in verse 54, death has been swallowed up in victory. One of these days, Jesus is coming back, and he's going to swallow up everything, all of our hurts, all of our struggles, all of our disappointments, all of that stuff, and it's all going to be a victory. It's going to be glorious at the end. The challenge for us now to do what Paul instructs us to do, but rejoice always. I'm praying about anything and everything. I'm not going to worry. And I'm going to give thanks in every single circumstance so that, and I'm going to read this verse, Psalms 9, for I will. Here's what I'm going to do. Psalms 9, 1 and 2. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I want to tell people about you and how great and glorious you are. I'm going to be glad and exult in you, glad of who you are in me, who I am with Christ in me. And I'm going to sing your praises evermore, O Most High. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. I'm going to rejoice. Let's pray. If you bow your heads. Paul's secret is someone. It's the Lord Jesus. Once you've met Jesus, you discover he's all you need. He's everything you need. He's enough. Today, you may be struggling with everything in your life. Everything is painful, it's depressing, it's discouraging. You know what? There's a better way to live. It's trusting in a great God who created you, who loves you, who's got a plan for your life. And he will accomplish that plan in your life, through your life, and complete it ultimately in glory. If you'll just allow him to begin that good work in you by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior right now, in this moment. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. God, I need help with my life. And I realize you can save me from sin and death. And you died for me. Forgive me and give me a new life. Just say what the Lord led you to say, but just ask him into your heart, trust him. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing, and I'm going to invite you who need to have a new start, need to allow God to begin a work in you, to come forward and just tell one of our ministers, you know what, I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior today. I want to believe. I need a new life. I need a new way. Most of us in the room, I know we've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've had that moment, but too many of us are allowing the world to dominate circumstances, and we don't rejoice, we don't even pray, and we're not giving thanks. There's another way to live. Paul says just to trust in Jesus Christ, the Savior, who's everything we need. If you need a church, I want you to come in just a moment to one of our ministers. I've trusted Christ. And I want to join this church. If you're online watching this morning, you can just text 74788 and just text the word Jesus, and we'll have someone standing by who respond to you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, you can make a commitment to Jesus Christ and it'll change your life. He's all you need.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.